Heavenly Father, thank you for another good day on planet Earth. Father, I thank you for the wonderful God that you are. Father, protect us from evil. Father, give us a quiet and peaceable life. Don't let the government get on our backs, and don't let evil take over. Father, give us health, give us strength, give us long life, give us prosperity. Make our words have impact, Father, that when we speak your word of truth, it has impact. Don't let our words fall to the ground. Draw people unto us that we can teach your word, your simple word to, and that they can take it to heart and they can teach others. Father, give us what we need in this life. Continue to take care of us and prosper us. In the name of Jesus Christ. Good morning, everybody. Let's start the teaching. Everybody turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. Here's a verse that's tailor-made for January 2021. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, and that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And yes, our country is crooked, and it's going to be crooked whether we elect a Democrat or a Republican. Right now, I think one party's a lot worse than the other, but neither one of them is really, they're men. Men are crooked. And a lot of our politicians on both sides are bought off, and they're crooked. You know, this nation is here temporarily. In eternity, when we're with God, we won't be living in the United States of America. I don't know what it'll be like. We see through a glass darkly. But it won't be the United States of America. That someday this will perish. But we pray and we believe to keep this country free so we can live a quiet and peaceable life, and that the devil, we can back him down and he has to leave us alone. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. You know, some people say we're in a civil war already, or some people say there's a civil war coming. Well, what does the Bible said? For we walk in the flesh, and we do not war after the flesh. You know, I tell people, God hasn't called me to go take a gun and shoot people. You know, although I am prepared, if somebody comes into my house and tries to kill my family, I would defend myself. But our warfare is not against the flesh. Our warfare is spiritual. God's called us to walk spiritually. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I think of, remember that great Old Testament record, Gideon, in the Old Testament, and the Israelites, they walked away from God and they got enslaved. That's a theme that repeats dozens and dozens of times in the Old Testament. Well, they walked away and then they decided they wanted to go back to God. And so back then, they didn't have the power spiritually that we do, and they had to go to quite often do physical warfare. And Gideon was putting an army together, and the Lord says, there's too many. You got 10,000. There's too many. If you guys go to war and you win, you'll think you did it yourselves. So he weeds it down. Well, then there was like 5,000. God says, there's still too many. You guys go to war, you'll think you did it yourselves. You won't. And finally, they keep weeding it down. And they had, what was it, 300? So if you only got 300, you'd think, well, we're going to have really good weapons. We're going to have these sniper rifles with scopes, and we're going to have body armor, and we're going to have blah, 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 you know, all these things, you know, top of the...
RPGs.
Yeah, whatever. We're going to have lasers like Star Trek does, you know, or something, I don't know. Well, what did he give him for weapons? He gave him a trumpet, and he gave him a jar with a candle in it. So they went up, and they broke the jars, and so there's 300 guys standing on the hillside with a candle and blowing the trumpet, and they go, "The sword of the Lord," and getting into it, and then the enemy all freaked out and they killed each other. And then people knew that was the Lord that delivered them. We are not equipped to take on all, and we don't even all know what everything that's going on. There's things behind the scenes, and there's rich, evil people pulling strings and bribing politicians and crooked this, crooked that. And we don't have to know. All we know is God has our back, like he said in Manifestations. God will take care of us. And so we pray, and we back him down, and we can literally say, "Satan, your socialist scheme, take it and get behind me in the name of Jesus Christ," and it'll fail. We can back him down. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah? God said, "I won't destroy Sodom if I can find," what was it, got down to 15 righteous people?
Either 10 or 5, I don't remember. 5, was it, Mary? It wasn't very many.
It wasn't very many. We got millions. There are millions of good, wonderful Christians in the United States that love God, that don't want to be enslaved. And we will resist, and God won't let us fail for that. You know, it doesn't say it's going to be a walk on the beach in paradise, but we will. God will take care of us. There's going to be challenges in life, but remember, we rebuke the devil, and he has to depart for a season. That was even that way in the Old Testament with Job. You know, the devil was coming after Job, and he could attack him for a while, and he had to depart for a season.
And then God restored back to Job everything.
Double.
Times two. And so God can and will, I believe, do that for us as well.
Let's go to Acts chapter 4.
Say that again.
Acts chapter 4. And I was going to read this whole chapter or a good big section of it, but I may not read all this. Basically, this is the record where Peter and John, you know, they had just had the miracle in verse chapter 3. There was the man that was born blind his whole life. He wasn't born blind. The man that, with the weakened ankles. I'm getting my miracles mixed up. Sorry about that.
Lame.
He was lame. He had, you know, and this guy was sit in the market, and he had his ankles didn't work right, you know. And as an older person, I can relate to that, because you know my ankles don't always work right, you know, in my 60s here, but you know I can still walk, God bless it, you know. And this guy, he had been there when Jesus Christ went by, and Jesus never healed him. He had been there and all sorts of things, and suddenly, after the day of Pentecost, when people got born again and they could speak in tongues, Ashanto, Toshita, Dasata, or other languages like Dot, Dito, Tos, Alto, you know, they would speak these multiple languages, and people in different groups were understanding. It was a huge miracle. And then suddenly they said, "Well, this Jesus who they crucified is risen from the dead, and we can get born again." And suddenly this man believed, and with his miracles, suddenly the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin, the evil religious leaders, it's interesting to note here that the religious leaders in Israel were even more evil than the Roman government. And the Roman government was fairly evil. They were pagans. But the ones that were supposed to be God's people and God's, they were even worse and more evil. And they basically, the apostles were going around and teach, they crucified him. But God raised him from the dead. And he basically was guilty, and they were trying to shut the information down. Gee, does that sound like today? They're trying to shut information down because they don't want you to know Joe Biden did not get 80 million votes. Joe Biden couldn't even do a rally with more than 200 people.
20.
There's rallies he had that 5 or 10 people showed up to. But Trump just, he did rallies with uncountable tens of thousands. and they put them together with a couple days' notice. It was the same thing. Jesus Christ, he would go and do events, and thousands of people would show up. And then after he'd be done teaching, he'd go across the river, and they'd say, oh, he's over there. And they'd follow him over there, and he was wanting to pray to God, and the people said, teach us, teach us. Well, anyway, that's the what was going on. And so the council they laid hold on these guys, Acts chapter 4, verse 3, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day. Basically, they put them in a temporary jail cell. And then they brought them before the high priest, verse 6. And they set them in the midst, and Peter, verse 8, was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he said, you rulers of the people and of Israel, if we this day be examined for they were examined for doing something good. And they were trying to make it out that it was something evil. They healed a guy, but because they didn't go into the temple and they didn't have the high priest heal them, they did it out in the street in the name of Jesus Christ. That somehow there was something wrong with that. That's what the devil does. He takes your good deeds and tries to say they're evil. Be it known unto you, verse 10, and all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand before you whole. And this stone, talking about Jesus Christ, the rock, the foundation, which you set at naught, has become the head of the corner, the entire foundation stone. Or it's like an architecture. You build an arch, and at the top of the arch, there's a keystone. If you don't put the keystone in, the arch fails. You take the keystone out, it fails. You put it in, it holds together. Without Jesus Christ as the foundation in your life, your spiritual life is all screwed up. You don't get to the one true God. Verse 13, now when they perceived the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men, they didn't go to Harvard University. They didn't get a PhD from Stanford. They didn't go to any of the great schools of learning. What did they see? They marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, some people say they only spent 6 months with Jesus. Some people say it was 3 years and 6 months. I don't care which it was. That's where they got the truth. And beholding the man that was healed standing with them, they could not say anything against it. But, in verse 16, saying, what shall we do to these men? Indeed, a notable miracle has been done by them and is manifest to all the people that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Verse 17, here comes the shutdown, the censorship. Let's kick them off of social media. Let's cancel their Twitter account. Let's shut down Parler. Let's shut down MeWe. But, verse 17, that it spread no further among the people. Let it straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak nor teach in the name of Jesus. And Peter and John, they just sort of looked at him and you think, you assholes. Yeah, I said a bad word in my teaching. Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you or to hearken unto God, you guys judge. For we cannot but speak of the things we've seen and heard. And they, verse 21, they threatened them some more. And they threatened the punishment. And so what did they do when they got out of there? They went back and they had a little prayer meeting. And they said, oh God, please save us. The world's going down the tubes and the tubes are greased. Hide us somewhere where we can hide up. No, they said, God, give us more boldness. And see, that's what we need to do. We need to boldly speak to people. Said, you know, Jesus Christ is our Savior. God is the God. No, Joe Biden didn't win the election. We'll speak the truth. And, you know, they can threaten us. They can cancel. I don't even have a Twitter account. If they did, they probably would have canceled it years ago. I don't know, it's a stupid name anyway. But you know what? We don't have to have an audience of 10,000 people. Like I'm not a great orator. I'm not a great reverend with a mega church. There right now we've got 9 people dialed into this small Zoom meeting fellowship.
9 groups.
9 households, I'm sorry. But you know what? You people, you talk to 9. Those 9 people talk to 9 more, and you know, it's just the word gets out. That's the way the word moved in the first century. They didn't have social media. They didn't have websites. And the when people see that they're trying to shut down the truth, people will say that it's like on Facebook. How do you know if something's true? The fact checker will deny it.
Yeah.
That's how you know it's true. If it's not fact checked by somebody, then you know, well, then maybe it's not true. So let's go one more here. The Old Testament. First Samuel. Chapter 3. So in Samuel, 1 Samuel, chapter 3, verse 11, and it says here, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle." And I'm believing for something like that to happen in this situation. Because I've been on this earth 66 years. I've seen a lot of things, and I've never seen a group of politicians so desperately try to shut down information about a cheated election like this has been. They are desperate. They are crooked. Democrats and crooked Republicans are falling all over each other to try and hide this information. They've been bought by foreign interests. They've been bought by people, basically, they've been bought by the devil. Let's get it down. I was talking to a friend on Facebook, and we were talking about, this is a friend of mine. She's a Democrat in San Francisco, and even she sees that the country's going to hell in a handbasket. And she says, she's uncomfortable with it. And she says, I blame the media, the news media. And I says, I blame the devil.
Yeah.
That's really what it is. Physically, we can't fight the devil in the physical realm. You throw a punch at the devil, you hit air. If you shoot a gun at the devil, you hit air. We can't take him on with physical weapons. But God has given us spiritual weapons. We have the same power that Jesus Christ had when he walked on the face of this earth. And we can do things that even he couldn't do. And so there's got to be at least 80 million, maybe 100 million, maybe 200 million people that are against this. And we got to stand. We got to speak. And when we do it together, we will back down the devil and we will win. Now, we're not going to remake this country into paradise. That won't happen until the devil's thrown in the lake of fire. When the devil's thrown in the lake of fire, then he'll cease to exist and we will have paradise. But we can back him down to the point where we can live a decent life and we don't have to be worried about, are they going to knock on my door and throw me in prison? Because I did a home fellowship today and I taught the Bible and I spoke about politics. And we it's not going to get to that point. We're going to back down the devil.
Yeah.
And the more we speak, the harder they push, and the more foolish they look, and the more people, other people will be joining us. Democrats will be joining us. Muslims will be joining us. Unbelievers will be joining us. They're all going to get sick of this. People want freedom. So I'm going to close out. I'm going to with a word of prayer, and then I'll give other people a chance to chime in. I know some of you guys got to leave early. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for how you love us and you take care of us. And, Father, we claim victory. And, Father, I claim in the name of Jesus Christ that you're going to pull something off that the ears of everybody that hears it in the entire world, their ears are going to tingle. And that you've got a victory for us. You'll preserve our freedom. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And the Spirit of the Lord is in each one of us. And so therefore, we will live in liberty the rest of our lives. And I claim this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.